Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, take your Bibles and open them up to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 14. What a blessing it is to be able to worship together. One of the things I say on Sundays, and I've been saying it as we've worshiped together here online, is that we have all kinds of people at North Central, and all people are welcome here. That's important to us, that all people are welcome into our community, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married for a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many watching today are believers, but not all. I bet there are others that do not know Christ, that are wondering about the claims of Christ, and they're watching as well. And the reason that we're watching is we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups, and we've been doing that by Zoom. We've been getting together one-on-one by Zoom. And then we gather in worship to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. And say it with me, Jesus is wonderful. Well, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, and the title today is Walking in the Light. Remember, we are to walk worthy of the calling that we have. At the beginning of this section in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy." And what that means is, we have learned from our scripture that God has positionally placed us in Christ. We're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And yet now, practically in chapters 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians, he's been challenging us to let our life balance up to the calling that we have. And so that is the challenge. And today in our text, we are challenged to walk, to be walking in the light. Now, light is a symbol in the Bible. It has two aspects. It deals with a mind and truth, and then it also deals with the lifestyle, our holiness, the way we live. Matthew 5:16 says this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." When we walk in the light, it protects us. I've heard of cities that were having a crime problem, and they asked all the residents of the cities to keep their lights on, and it caused crime to go down. That's what light does. Light exposes evil things and bad things, and so light protects us, but it also guides us. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so God's word, the light of the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, protect us and they guide us. "For this is the message, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all," 1 John 1:5 says. So how do we walk in the light? That's what we want to talk about today as we open God's Word. So I want to read from my copy of God's Word, and you follow along in your copy. It says in verse 8, this is Ephesians 5:8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship," verse 11 says, "with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." Verse 13, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." In verse 8, it shows the contrast, and this is something that Paul does in Ephesians often. He gives a contrast. He says, you were once this way, and now you're this way. You were once alienated from God, and now you are in the family of God. This is a pattern that he does in the book of Ephesians. So he's going to do it again in this passage. He's going to tell us, you were once in darkness. It says, for you were once darkness. Notice he doesn't even say in darkness. You were darkness. And so the scripture is very powerful there. And then it says that we were once in darkness in verse 8, but now you are light. The only way we can be light is if we're in the Lord. It says it there in the text. It says, for you are light in the Lord. And then it says this, and this is our challenge, church family. We are to walk as children of light. We are to live it out. It's one thing to have the confession of our mouth. It's another thing altogether to actually live it out and to walk it out. So how are we to do that? Well, there are some things here that the text gives us. There are actually four main points that I want you to write down. I want you to maybe write them on a piece of paper and you can review them later. The first thing, if you are walking in the light, you are to, number one, produce fruit. In verse 9, it says this, for the fruit of the Spirit, and by the way, the word Spirit and the word light are very similar, and some of the best copies of manuscripts in the scripture, actually, and probably your version, one of your version, the versions that you have there at your home, may actually say in verse 9, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness. Now, mine happens to say the fruit of the Spirit. Of course, the fruit that we produce as being in the light is so similar to the fruit of the Spirit anyway, so there's not a real conflict there, but I wanted you to understand that if you see in your text it says the fruit of the light. So it says the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, first of all. It says goodness. That word means benevolence. It means an act of goodness. In other words, church family, let me say this. As a believer in Jesus Christ, one of the ways we walk out being a child of the light is that we are good to our fellow man. How do we treat other people? This word is a word that means love in action. God is an action. God is in action, loving people, and he uses his children to do that. So as we are challenged, if we're walking in the light to produce fruit, we are challenged in goodness. And then it says in verse 9 also, righteousness. The word righteousness was understood by the Greeks as giving all their due related to God. In other words, they laid everything on the line related to God. So we are to do that, all right? And it means that we are made right with God. It doesn't mean we've earned it at all, but it means that our relationship with the Lord is made right. So here's what righteousness means there as we produce that fruit. We are right with God, but we're also right with men. And so righteousness is one of the fruit that we produce as we walk in the light. And then the third thing is truth, and that means a genuineness and an honesty. It's related to yourself personally. It's related to me, and it's related to you. As you live out the Christian life, this scripture is challenging us to be a person who ministers to others and a person who's right with God, right with others, and then a person who has integrity. A person who is a person of truth. And church family and those listening, if there was ever a time in our world when our world needed to see believers that were living rightly related to God and rightly related to others, it's right now. A.S. Wood in the Expositor's commentary on this passage says, quote, light is known by its effects. When the light of Christ shines in the lives of believers, it produces benevolence, it produces fairness, and it produces integrity. So we should really not mind people looking at our lives and judging whether or not we are children of the light. In other words, it's totally normal for our light to shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. You know, we shouldn't mind having folks examine that. A man came to Spurgeon, the great English preacher, and Spurgeon was amazing. I understand he preached to 20,000 people weekly, And I've actually been to the place where he preached. When I made my one trip to Europe, I was able to see the Metropolitan Tabernacle where Spurgeon preached. A man came to Spurgeon and asked him, he said, "I want to do a story on your life." He said, "I want to write about you. I want to do your biography." And here's what Spurgeon's quote is. He said, "You can write it in the skies." He said, "I have nothing to hide. You can write it in the skies." And so that is a demonstration to me that's the kind of life that we need to be willing to live. Now, that means we've got to have that fruit. The challenge, church family, is that we are challenged. If we're going to be walking in the light, we have to produce that fruit. But let me tell you something. When you live that way, you prove something. Look at verse 10 in our text. It says in verse 10, "For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth," verse 9, then verse 10 says this, "finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." That word "finding out" means to prove. It's a word that was used of metal. They would analyze that metal to make sure that it was had the properties that it was supposed to have. And so it was something that was proved. It was something put to the test for the purpose of approving. The word is also used in the choosing of deacons and the choosing of elders, that they are to be proven men. It's an interesting thing, something that they've been through challenges, they've been through difficulties, and they are proven. And so those are the type of leaders that you want to have, and it's used that way in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But basically what you prove and what I prove when we live our lives for Jesus Christ and we are walking in the light, what happens is we prove that the will of God is good and acceptable and it's perfect. In other words, in the scripture says in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, what is well-pleasing. The word acceptable there means what is well-pleasing to the Lord. So this yardstick of goodness, this yardstick of righteousness and truth is what the believer uses to prove what the acceptable will of the Lord is. It sounds a lot like Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that says, "And don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So here's the application of this one. The world is watching us, church. The world is watching us. We can prove to them that living for Jesus Christ is the way to go. We can prove to them by walking in the light that this is a superior way to live, living under the authority of God's Word. If we're going to walk in the light, number one, we've got to produce fruit. Number two, we've got to reject sin. In verse 11 it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Remember, he was talking about, for we were once darkness. Now he's saying, you know what? I think that sometimes there are believers that give their lives to Christ and then they revert back and they have fellowship. They participate in other works of darkness. The word fellowship there means to share. You ever been to an eating place and there was a sign that said, "No sharing"? Maybe it was a buffet or something, and it said, "No sharing." Well, you're not supposed to just get one and then two or three people share on that buffet. Well, in the same way, these sinful deeds that are done by those outside of Christ, the Scripture's saying to us as believers, we are to not share in that. We are to not participate in that, in the unfruitful works of darkness. Can I tell you this? It uses that word unfruitful. The devil wants to tempt us, and the world is tempting us every day with things that are to tantalize us. It's like glitter that we are to look at. I think about things like materialism and amusement and selfishness and all these types of things. And the scripture is saying here, these are the unfruitful works of darkness. That word unfruitful means empty. In other words, they're empty. Those things are, they don't add up. There's nothing there. And if you follow those works of darkness, you're going to be disappointed. The best thing to do is to put your faith and trust in Jesus and to live for Him and renew your mind by God's Word, as we've been learning about. Now, one of the sins that I think is very important for us right now, especially during this coronavirus time, is the sin of worry. You know, worry is a sin. The scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So as we put our faith and trust in Christ, as we are not anxious, but we take everything to God in prayer, the Bible says that the peace of God will mount guard around our life. That's actually a military term, and we will mount guard. The story is told of a businessman whose business was going in a bad way, and he was worried about it. He was so worried about it that he got shingles so bad. He had to go to the hospital, and shingles is a terrible thing. Some of you maybe have had shingles, and I mean, it's very painful. He had a very, very bad case, and they think it was generated from the stress that he was under in his business and other things like that. And he was in the hospital, and he heard in the chapel there was some singing. And the lyrics to the song they were singing was, God will take care of you. All of a sudden, he sat up in bed in that hospital and he said, yes. He said, God's going to take care of me. God will help me. And he got up out of the bed, and he went and joined them in the chapel, and he began to get better because he finally gave his anxiousness to the Lord. And folks, I think we need to do that. Corrie ten Boom, the great Christian who went through the Holocaust and was actually in a concentration camp and got freed, she said this. She said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Folks, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We're hoping and we're praying that all this is going to tamp down, and I'm sure that it will. All the doctors are telling us that. But it's not going to help us anymore to worry today. We need to rejoice in what Christ has done in our life. So if we're walking in the light, we should produce fruit. We should reject sin. Number three, we should expose darkness. At the end of verse 11, look what it says. He says, but rather expose them. It's not saying expose the people of darkness. We are to love people. God has given us a burden for people that need Christ. Hey, church family, where would I be without Christ? I know the desperation that I was in when I came to know Christ. So it's not the people that we are exposing, but we should be honest about sin and how sin destroys. It says, rather expose them, bring them into the light. Sometimes when we have Christian friends that are going in the wrong direction, we should talk to them and pray with them and let them understand that the direction they may be going, if they've reverted back into deeds of darkness, is not a good thing. And then with our friends that do not know Christ, we need to be honest, because people need a realization that darkness is a bad situation for their life. They need to turn away from darkness. Because you see, folks, your life does make a difference. Your walk and your conversation makes a difference. And it says in verse 12, it says we are to, in verse 11 it says, but rather expose them. Then verse 12 says this, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. It is, even to speak of them is not a good thing. Folks, you know, sometimes people want to know the details of evil. We don't need to know the details of evil. There was a time when I was doing youth work, and there were many that were doing it, and they felt like they had to understand everything that was out there in the world in order to reach that generation. You know, I don't think that's the case. Here Paul is warning us. Yes, there's a sinful world out there, but we don't have to study the sinful world to know that sin is a destructive force in the lives of people. We shouldn't even speak of the things that are done by them in secret, the scripture says. But we do expose that sin is destructive. You know, but we don't have to get down into the sin in order to see somebody delivered from sin. It's like if there's a car stuck in the ditch, you don't have to get your tow truck down in the ditch to get them out. You keep your truck on the high road on the top of the on the top ground, the level ground up high, and then you can go down into the ditch and you can hook them up and you can pull them out. So it's important that we realize we are to expose darkness. And by the way, we don't just do that verbally. The scripture here is teaching us that by living in the light, we are actually exposing the darkness. Sometimes, have you ever walked in on a conversation and people, sometimes you walk in, you feel like the conversation changed because you showed up. Or maybe you have a friend that's an athlete and you've done some sports with them and they tend to use foul language and maybe they don't use it as often because you're around. That's just a small illustration of sometimes your character. Church family, listen, the way we live, this is what Ephesians is all about right now. The way we live impacts the people around us. The way we are treating these people at the grocery store. Grocery stores are interesting right now. I've seen lines. You know, you wait in line and then you go in. And, boy, there are people that are working hard to help us. How we treat them, how we share Christ in that context is an amazing thing. And it makes a difference. And it actually exposes darkness. So we are, if we're walking in the light, we are to produce fruit, number one. We are to, number two, reject sin. Number three, we are to expose darkness. And here's the last thing, number four, we are to impact others. In verses 13 and 14, it says this, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. You know what, folks? The light overcomes the darkness every time. The light overcomes the darkness. Here in our auditorium, all the lights are off except some special lighting that they have. But I can tell you, the light is winning. And light always wins when it battles against darkness. And it says, for whatever makes manifest is light. Things reproved are made manifest by the light, for it is only light that makes things clear. The only way we can expose the darkness and impact others is by living a life walking in the light. One of the commentaries says this, not only does light expose, but light also transforms. You see that in verse 14, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So light not only exposes, but light actually transforms. Now that little verse in verse 14, if it's in your Bible, if it looks like mine, it's indented. That's because that is from an Old Testament passage. Actually, there's a little debate about where that scripture comes from in verse 14. Some believe it's taken from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, and Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Some believe this was a hymn that was used in the early church saying, arise. It says, arise, you who are asleep. Arise from the dead, awake, and Christ will give you light. That it was a hymn that was sung in the early church. Some believe it was sung at every baptism in the early church. But here's the idea. The idea is that when you have this light, don't sleep on it. When you have the light of the gospel, don't sleep on it, but get up and react to the light in your own life and then use it to illuminate the world. I was thinking about all the healthcare workers. Think about the healthcare workers that are in the hospitals helping people with the coronavirus, this COVID-19, that pandemic that is everywhere and continues to grow. Hopefully by our response and by our social distancing and things, we are going to tamp that down, and that's our prayer, and I want us to pray about that. But you know, I was thinking about the healthcare workers. They are healthy, and they're going into the sick to help them. Do you know that in the same way, you too help the lost world? You are healthy spiritually if you know Jesus Christ in a personal way. And you are to go into the world to be salt and to be light. I'm praying that we would apply this message by looking for folks that need encouragement, maybe get on the phone and call some folks. I encourage all of our small groups that meet in our church to stay in contact. Many of you are doing that. And it's so encouraging to see that happen. And then I want to encourage you to share Christ with those around you. Do you know Jesus Christ in a personal way? Let me ask you this. Has the light shined on you? Has the light come into your life? It happened to me as a teenage boy. I gave my life to Christ. I was sitting in a room full of teenagers and the gospel was shared, and I felt like I was the only person in that room. Maybe you do not know Christ. Maybe you need to know Christ. If you do not know Jesus Christ in a personal way, what you need to do is you need to turn your life over to Christ. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if we will turn from our sin, the scripture says it is by grace that you are saved through faith. And that is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when we turn from our sin, and that is the word repent, to turn away from our sin, and then we trust in Jesus Christ in a personal way, that is how we give our lives to Christ. I hope you will do that if you do not know Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then I want to challenge you to walk in the light. We do that by producing fruit that we've mentioned in verse 9, the goodness, the righteousness, and the truth that we do that as we live our lives in that way. And so if you do know Christ as your Savior, you produce the fruit, you reject sin, you expose the darkness, and you impact others. Bow with me in prayer right now. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for the privilege that we have to worship you today. We ask that you might bless our audience, our church family, and their friends that are watching us today. Work in their lives in a very special way today. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us, and help us to be a people that are walking in the light every day of our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.